set my feet on higher ground. Amen. Lord, lift me up. Oh, let me stand. Oh, Lord Jesus, plant us all on higher ground this evening. Oh, Lord, just open up a vision for your church. Oh, Lord, leave us, Lord, on higher ground. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, praise the Lord. I'm James Chang from New York City, just as a brief introduction if you don't already know who I'm from. Thank you. So over the last few days of the Summer School of Truth, you've seen some marvelous things. You've seen the church. You've seen the ground of the church, the building up of the church. Tonight, though, we'll be heading over into something a little bit more specific. Tonight will be our entrance into the church and our attitude in the church life. So this entrance into the church life is really just somewhat of a review of your own life. Let's just take a beat and think about how we've come to where we are today. Amen. Just thinking, so our first initial thought might be we came into the church life because someone may have brought us in. How many of you are actually church kids, if you would have to say that? Oh, we have that's a fair amount. That's a good proportion. So in your case, your parents, you may have grown up in the church life. But really, I think we need to realize that the Lord has had plans for a long time. So why don't we read together Roman numeral 1 together. Our entrance into the church. We are in the church by life. And because of life, we are in the church because of the work of the triune God. We can never leave the church. We were destined to be in the church. Brothers, A. The Father's choosing and predestinating of us to be sons is for the church, because the church is made up of the many sons of the Father, who were chosen and predestinated, are the constituents of the church. And sisters, B. In Ephesians 1, 3 to 5 and 7, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Saints, the Lord chose you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Today, we're here because of his forethought. Before you were even born, he thought, this person over here, Dan, I'm going to pick him and make sure that he knows about the church. He's going to receive sonship. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord that we were able to just have this marvelous accomplishment for us. But receiving this sonship, the Lord needed to go through this process for us. He had to live on the earth, live the perfect human life, die and resurrect so that he could solve the problem of sin and of sins. How about we read point C together? We were regenerated unto a living hope through Christ's resurrection. Amen. All right, circle a living hope. Oh, Lord. And oh, Lord, reading 1 Peter 1:3 under the footnote for living. In this age, we have the hope of growing in life, of maturing, of manifesting our gifts, of exercising our functions, of being transformed, of overcoming, of being redeemed in our body, and of entering into glory. In the coming age, we have the hope of entering into the kingdom of reigning with the Lord and of enjoying the blessings of the eternal life in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. In eternity, we have the hope of being in the New Jerusalem, where we will participate fully in the consummated blessings of the eternal life and its ultimate manifestation in eternity. This living hope, the hope of life, hinges on the eternal life which we have received through regeneration.
Amen.
Isn't this something marvelous? I'm so happy to have this particular life. But we can't actually stop over there. We have to continue going on. We can't just stop at regeneration. We may have received this wonderful life within us, but if what's keeping us to attaining this living hope? Roman numeral D, the triune God's final accomplishment was the outpouring of the Spirit to form the one body. The Spirit was first outpoured out on the day of Pentecost for the Jewish believers. The Spirit was then poured out in the house of Cornelius for the Gentile believers. When we receive this Spirit, it gave us power. We have this Spirit that we can wear like a piece of clothing. And this power we can see maybe in a practical example. We have the boldness to preach the gospel. How many of you have preached, at least in my experiences, when I've spoken the gospel to other people, I'm empowered. I have a life that's welling up within me that's willing to express such things. You know, if we look within Acts 2, when those 120 disciples, 120 went and prayed, 3,000 were saved on that day.
Amen.
This Spirit is full of power.
Amen.
So, but, you know, that can be removed if we don't have still the proper standing. So, oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So we are qualified to be the constituents of the church.
Amen.
When we receive this life, we already have all the requirements that we need to help and start building it. But we need to be ones that can actively set our minds and build towards it. Our reading from Roman numeral E. Our entrance into the church is by believing and being baptized after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of our salvation. By believing, we receive the Spirit of reality, who brings us all the divine realities. By being baptized, we put into the Spirit once and for all to remain in the body.
Amen.
Baptism is a reality.
Amen.
We live in the new man. In terms of your own experiences, after you were saved, maybe, perhaps, you used to enjoy doing a particular activity, but then now when you try to pursue it, the Lord just stops you up. In terms of maybe you're talking and having a conversation with friends that you used to enjoy so often, but now the Lord doesn't permit you to enjoy that anymore. This reality of the baptism, we continue. This is living by the inner life that comes in, but it's still not enough to keep us centered and in the church life. So now for our entrance, F, our entrance into the church is eternal. It is according to the divine and uncreated life of God.
Amen.
There is no going out. Underline that.
Amen.
There is no going out.
Amen.
Whether by our choice, by somebody else's choice, or by God's choice. Oh, Lord. Even if you decide to stop meeting with us, you cannot leave the church wherever you are. Oh, Lord. This is something that we've been enjoying. But it's still not enough. Gee, if you see the vision of the church and the building up of the church, your spontaneous reaction will be to give yourselves up absolutely to Christ for the building up of the church. We will realize that there is nothing else to do in the universe but to build up the church.
Amen.
12 years ago, I was in the Summer School of Truth at this particular topic. 12 years ago, I received just the revelation over here. And today, I'm here because of what I saw.
Amen.
This is our hope for all of you young people, that you would see the church and that you would give yourselves to it.
Amen.
I've been here already. Now we're Friday now, so that's 7 days. It's Thursday. Well, today's Thursday. So we've been here one whole week. How many serving, just think about all the other serving ones that are going to be here for the full 10 days. What is it that drives these people to stay here, to come and serve you young people. We enjoy, you know, we come to wake to go to bed at 10:30 and then wake up around maybe 6 or 5 a.m. in the morning. There's something else that's drawing us here. There's something else that's keeping us, that keeps us coming back. So we need to pray for the Lord's mercy to keep us obedient to the heavenly vision so that we will continue to be absolutely consecrated until the end. In Acts 2:46, in this portion, we have the example of Apostle, in 26:19, we have the Apostle Paul who says he was faithful to the heavenly vision. He tells that to King Agrippa. We all know Paul's background was that he was a persecutor of the Jews, persecutor of the Christians. But then he received a divine revelation from the Lord, and he realized he should be one following the Lord. But in following that Lord, he stayed to the vision. He became persecuted himself. This last section on Acts 26:19 is as the Jews were upset with him bringing Gentiles into the temple. They conspired to say something to him. They wanted to bring him to order, maybe even get him executed. But even in the midst of this different trials, he still said he was faithful to the vision. I don't know, but in terms, this is something that we still need to see. All right. Two, we should not lose heart because we have the New Testament ministry to encourage and supply us for the building up of the church.
Amen.
In addition to just having that controlling vision, we also need to be aware of not quenching the fire that we have.
Amen.
You know, sometimes when our heart is set on something else, that's when we may become disobedient to that vision. How many different things are we thinking of? Fame? Are we thinking of accomplishment? Are we thinking of fortune? Is our heart set on someone else? If anything else occupies it, we're going to lose heart and we're going to lose faith. We're not going to stay coming to enter and still be remaining in the church life. Three, we must focus our attention on the goal.
Amen.
Christ and the church.
Amen.
Therefore, young brothers and sisters, set your whole heart,
Amen.
Your whole mind and whole soul to love the Lord Jesus for the building up of his church.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. This vision that we have, it needs to be very controlling. I work in Midtown Manhattan in a tall building that overlooks Park Avenue. So at the top of that building, I can go up to, sometimes I am allowed to go up to the 57th floor. I can see down the streets. I can see Park Avenue. I can see all the shadows looming down. But if someone were to come up to me and say, what are you talking about? There's no shadows in buildings. There's no tall skyscrapers. There's no view of Central Park from up there. I would say, you're crazy. This is what I've seen. This is the vision. You know, in your church life, maybe there's something that might not be pleasing to you. Sometimes saints will offend you. They might not be taking care of you in a proper way. Or maybe there's some other type of offense. The church life is not a utopia. We're still in our, sometimes in our old man, we're not 100% in our spirit. But this vision, this is what will guard us and keep us.
Amen.
This, amen. And our, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, amen. So I encourage you all, young people, to continue. Just, if you haven't had a vision, just pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I still haven't seen it. Lord Jesus, I want to be able to see this vision of your church. One that will control me and keep me for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. I think I will.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on gain and stable land. A higher place God I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. Oh, no. This one. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on gain and stable land. A higher plane God I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Hallelujah. I count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you tonight.
Amen.
My name is Juan Fuentes, and I'm with the church in Newington. And tonight I will continue what our brother started with session 12 on the matter of our attitude in the church life. But as a summary concerning our entrance into the church life, our entrance into the church life is by birth.
Amen.
We're born into the church. You may have been born as a child into a family that is in the church life, but that's not your entrance into the church. That's just the blessing God has bestowed upon you to give you a family that is a believing family.
Amen.
And that makes you a child of promise. That means that you are positioned to receive the eternal divine life of God because you're born into a family that is a believing family. But each one of us, at one time, we had to make a decision to open our hearts, to believe into the Lord Jesus and confess that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. When we do that, when we open our hearts, then the Holy Spirit, God Himself, comes into us and regenerates us. That is our entrance into the church.
Amen.
It's wonderful. I had an experience. I just was in Lima this past week, and we had to take a taxi. Lima, Peru. And we had to take a taxi. And Lima is a very congested city. And to go for maybe 15 miles took us about an hour and a half to get through. But that meant that taxi driver was a captive audience to hear about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And it was wonderful because this person was there, very tired, working since 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was about 7 o'clock already, p.m., right? So he's working what? 13 hours already. He would stop, and then he would close his eyes in the midst of traffic. Okay, let's go. But then we got talking about the Lord. Then he told us how he just got out of prison. 5 years in prison. Now he's working. And then we got talking. He said, I don't like to read the Bible, but I like to hear about the Bible. I said, okay, let me tell you. Hallelujah. So we got fellowshipping. Anyway, right there in the midst of traffic in Lima, Peru, this ex-convict driving a taxi in the middle of Lima became a son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he's our brother.
Amen.
He entered into the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise the Lord. Each one of us made a decision one time to receive the Lord. That was our entrance. We are in the church by birth. I was born of God. I'm a child of God. Oh, that's wonderful. That is really precious, brothers and sisters. We are children of God. Okay. I wanted to highlight a couple of things here. And point F says, our entrance into the church is eternal. It is according to the divine and uncreated life of God. There is no going out.
Amen.
Let's say that together. There is no going out. I came into the church and I ain't going out.
Amen.
I can't. I was born into it. Is that awesome? That's a gift of God. Okay. And then it says, whether by our choice, by someone else's choice, or by God's choice. Wow, isn't that amazing? Once you're born of God, even if God wanted to take his life out of you, he can't.
Yeah.
What? God can do anything he wants. Well, he regenerated, actually, he chose you. He predestinated you. And then in time, he regenerated you.
Amen.
So the fact that you're saved is very much according to God's heart. Okay, so I want to encourage you. Because I've been encouraged myself. No matter, I'm not encouraging you to sin or to fall, but no matter how we may fall or sin, God chose us knowing that we would have done that, that we would do that. So Sometimes I think, well, if I knew myself, I probably wouldn't choose myself. Because I know it. You know, the Apostle Paul says, nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. That's true. But brothers and sisters, God loved you. God chose you. God predestinated you. And he regenerated you. And he brought you into the church. What a blessing. And if you have been in the summer school, this would be your fifth summer school, right? This is the fifth, right? Everything that we covered so far, which begins with God's full salvation, right, going to the triune God and the person and work of Christ, right, then the matter of the two spirits, right, the human spirit, the divine spirit, then the matter of life, right, knowing life and experiencing life. All these things that we covered are for the church. Amen. Everything we've seen in all the summer schools that have gone before. And if you're just beginning, this is your first summer school, praise the Lord, you're blessed to know that everything that God does is for and with the church in view. So he regenerated us for the church. I was born of God for the church. I was chosen by the Lord for the church. My life, I came into being as a person for the church. Wow. To have that realization, to have that vision. You know, I appreciate our brother James sharing. He said 12 years ago, he was here in a summer school concerning the church. And he saw the church. And he said, that's why I'm here today. Yeah, right. Wow. Right. That makes all the hot days, that makes all the late nights, that makes all the sacrifices worth it. Yeah. To hear a young person, yeah, I saw the church. Amen. And I'm here. Amen. Because I saw a vision. So I would ask you, if you've been here already 8 days and you haven't seen, it's time to pray. Lord, Lord, open my eyes to see the church. How about we just pray together? Just close your eyes. Just follow with me. Lord, open my eyes to see the church. Amen. Every time we share on this matter of the church, that's my prayer. I want to see the church afresh. Again. As I first saw it, so that I can go on in the church. Oh, praise the Lord. Then, how about we read together point G? It's a marvelous point. If you see the vision of the church and the building up of the church, your spontaneous reaction will be to give yourself up absolutely to Christ for the building up of the church. You will realize that there is nothing else to do in the universe but to build up the church. Wow. So, to see the vision of the church, that's something I would say is a radical matter, because it changes your direction. It changes your life. Perhaps you had plans. As young people, you have plans. You're going to school. You would like to attain this or obtain that. And our prayer is that as you see the vision of the church, after you see that and you give yourself to that, then you become aware that you're a member of the body of Christ and you're no longer an individual. So your decisions must take into consideration what is in God's heart. And what is in God's heart is the church. So our decisions would take into consideration, how will this affect the church? Okay. It says, we need to pray for the Lord's mercy to keep us obedient to the heavenly vision so that we will continue to be absolutely consecrated until the end. So we may see the church, but there may be things that the enemy uses to lure us or to cause us to veer away from giving ourselves for the building up of the church. There are other causes in human life. There are social causes. That is the cost that I may have as a goal in my life to obtain this, to have this career, this position, this amount in the bank. You may have this kind of thought. But brothers and sisters, don't let any of these things choke the life of God in your heart and fog the vision that you've seen concerning the church. All those things that are in our hearts, we could bring to the Lord. We could open to the Lord. Lord, I would like to do this. I would like to do that. I would like to attain to this. And if you fellowship with him and you're open to him, he will lead you. I've been in my personal reading of the Bible. I'm in 1 Samuel, going into 2 Samuel. And you know, Saul was chosen by God and anointed by God. But because of disobedience to God's word, the kingdom was taken from him. And there was a point towards the end of his life where he would seek God, and God would not answer him. Oh, that is not good. But so he sought to get counsel from Samuel, who was already dead. That's not good. Okay? But then, so they go against the Philistines. He dies with his sons. But then David, now with Saul being dead, now David, he inquires of Jehovah. And he says, should I go up to a city in Judah? And the Lord says, you should go. And then he says, which city should I go? And then he tells him which city should he go. And then there, he's crowned as king. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I just was freshly encouraged that nothing is worth losing God's presence. Amen. Nothing is worth losing the presence of God. No relationship, no alluring career, no amount of money, no sinful pleasure is worth losing the Lord's presence. That was the case with Saul at the end of his life. He sought the Lord, but the Lord would not answer him. May that never be our case. That whenever we seek the Lord, we would find him right there and very close to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, may nothing come to cause us to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Okay, could we read 2 and 3 together? We should not lose heart because we have the New Testament ministry to encourage and supply us for the building up of the church. We must focus our attention on the goal, Christ and the church. Therefore, young brothers and sisters, set your whole mind and whole soul to love the Lord Jesus for the building up of his church. Amen. Our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, to love the Lord Jesus for the building up of his church. Amen. Okay, so if we go on to point number 2, could we read that together? Point number 2. Our attitude in the church, having the proper attitude, helps to build up the church. Amen. Okay, I wanted to read the definition of attitude. What is attitude? Attitude is the way to think and feel about someone or something. Attitude is a feeling or way of thinking that affects a person's behavior. Attitude is a way of thinking and behaving that people regard as unfriendly or rude, like you have an attitude. Right, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking mainly about the first two. And then I'd like to read another definition, which is concerning aircraft. The position of an aircraft determined by the relationship between its axis and a reference datum, such as the horizon. So you may have an aircraft like this, right? And that's in line with the horizon. Then the If the attitude is like this, we say that it's going up, right? That's when the plane takes off, right? And then when the plane is landing, it changes attitude. It's going down, and eventually it lands, right? So there is a saying, attitude determines altitude. We are heavenly beings. Our attitude should be upward all the time, seeking the things which are above, not the things which are on the earth. And the last point was about focusing on the goal. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see the goal so that we can align ourselves with the proper attitude, right? Our attitude in the church life, being conscious of the... Actually, I'd like to make a comment concerning all these points, A through H. All have to do with the consciousness of the body. All these points. So I was considering this. When a baby is born, the baby, you know, has spent 9 months in the mother's womb and eventually comes to another sphere. And you can say that that sphere is not known to that baby. That's true. It just was born. It just was delivered. And at the beginning, they put on the baby what is called swaddling clothes, right? It's to, they wrap the whole baby. And that's mainly so that he doesn't get scared with his own limbs. Because he or she doesn't know himself. So he's not aware, or she's not aware of her own body yet. She's not conscious of the body, of her body yet. That's us. We're born into the church. We're born as sons of God, you know. In John chapter 1, it tells us that as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. So if we receive them, we are a child of God. But we need to become conscious of the body. I don't know if you've ever seen a little video, or you've seen maybe your own siblings or ones that you know. If you put a mirror in front of a child, maybe 1 year old or 2 years old, maybe they look at the mirror, and then they move around, and then they don't see themselves, and then they go looking back. Right? They're becoming conscious of their environment, and they don't see their body being reflected, so they're looking for it in the back because to them it's there somewhere. Okay? In the spiritual matters, we need to become conscious of the body. We need to become conscious of the fact that when we were born as members of the body. Even though we are individuals, our birth, our spiritual birth, brought us into an entity called the body of Christ. And we are members of that body. And there is a head that directs the movements of that body. And as I grow up into the head in all things, the more conscious I become. So, brothers and sisters, in the Christian life, we must grow up. Amen. Grow up into the head in all things. Okay, so being conscious is being awake or able to understand what is happening. Knowing that something exists. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that there is an entity in the universe called the body of Christ? Amen. Do you know that? Okay, now let me ask you another question. Do you know that you're a member of that entity? Amen. Wow. That is something we call the body of Christ. In this universe, there is a reality to it. There's a head and there are members. And brothers and sisters, listen, we are members of that body. Amen. That is precious to realize. I am not just an individual. I am a member of the body of Christ because I was born of God and I was baptized in the Spirit into one body. That's how we got into the body. We got baptized. Somebody got baptized today, right? Into water, right? The reality of that water is the Spirit. And when we put you into that water, in reality, we're putting you into the body of Christ. Wow. That is awesome. Are you baptized? Did you get baptized? I want to know how many of you are baptized. That means all of you were put into the body of Christ through baptism. That's marvelous. That's how we got in. And then we got put into the body, and then we were given to drink one Spirit. So we're baptized into the body, we're given to drink one Spirit. All these are items that make us one. We have the same life. The spirit is in us, and we were baptized into the body, and we were given to drink the one Spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it says here, being conscious of the body, we were saved as members of the body of Christ. Therefore, we must be conscious of the body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I mentioned, we were all baptized into one body. So in verse 12 says, for even as the body is one, and as many members, yet all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. That's the corporate Christ. For also in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one Spirit. So here, uses this phrase, the Christ. The Christ refers to the corporate Christ, to Christ the head and Christ the body. So, brothers, if you are members of the body of Christ, what does that make you? Christ!
Amen.
Be bold. I'm going to ask you again. If you're members of the body of Christ, what does that make you?
Christ!
Why? Because we are part of the Christ. We're members of the Christ. Christ the head and Christ the body is not two different entities. It's the Christ. We are members of Christ. We are Christ. So that's why it matters our attitude. Because we are Christ. We represent Christ. People, through our living, will see whether Christ is real or whether Christ is not real in my life. So it matters. It matters. Okay? So how about we read together B. Loving the brothers and sisters, all of us who were born of God and have been baptized into the one body of Christ cannot help but love one another. We must take care of one another's feelings by living in the Spirit. So 1 John 3:14 says, let's see, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. He who does not love abides in death. Then also I'd like to read another verse. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten of God. And everyone who loves him, who has been begotten, loves him also who has been begotten of him. If you are begotten of God, and another person is begotten of God, spontaneously because of the life that you have, love will flow out of you toward another believer, whether they meet with us or not. Haven't you experienced this? That's a beautiful experience of the body. When by chance, quote-unquote chance, you find yourself with a believer, another believer on a plane or in your job, right? They are members of the body of Christ. They were also regenerated with the life of God. And there is something within you. You just love that person. And sometimes you may have to ask, you may ask them, oh, are you a believer? Or they may ask you, are you a believer? And you realize, wow, we have a connection. Yeah, we have the same life. Amen. We are the Christ. Amen. We're members one of another. That is love within us believers toward other believers. That is a wonderful proof. Then, how is that love expressed? Write this down. That love is expressed by caring for one another. Amen. If you care for one another, love will be expressed, and other people will see these people are different. You know, Brother Ricky came to visit us a couple of months ago, and he met this family. We met from Albania. And the wife, she told us, in the first meeting she came, she stood up and she said, I'm a Muslim. That's the first thing she said. But then she said, please, don't reject me. Okay? So, of course, we're not going to reject her. Okay, so she was there. She's been there with us. And, you know, we've been helping them a lot. You know, caring for them. He's working with I do some consulting. Anyway, then there's another family in the church who just needed to move. And so they asked for help. And, you know, the saints asked for help. So a lot of the saints rose up and helped this family move, went there to that apartment, cleaned the kitchen, cleaned everything. And this person was like, who are these people? You know, who are these people? It was by the express love in the care for the members that she saw Christ. Christ is seen by others in how we care for one another. So, brothers and sisters, in the church, we need to see, I really need to care for my brother. I really, as a young person, so now let's talk about you as a young person. How do you care for each other? How do you care for each other that others would see that Christ is real because you love one another? How would you do that? Okay, for example, somebody comes, brother, are you from meeting the same church or no? Different. Okay, but let's say you all met in the same church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You all met in the same church. And you do have a good relationship with each other as brothers. But then, what's your name, brother? Luis, ven para acá. Come here. Okay, Luis. Okay, so Luis comes, and it's a family that just moved. Okay? You care for each other. But the question is that care just because you're buddy buddies and you like each other, or is it because you're loving Christ and pursuing Christ together? That will be reflected in how you care for Luis. If you as brothers in that church are really loving the Lord, caring for the Lord, caring for one another in Christ, when Luis comes, that love will bring Luis right into your group. And he will start enjoying Christ with you. But if you don't, you know, Luis doesn't have the same pants as you have. So you don't like him. You keep him away from your group. You see what I mean? So you're being together and you're being nice to each other. It's not the factor of your oneness. It's not Christ. Maybe you just like the same football team. Or maybe you just go to the same school and you play football all together. I don't know. But it's not Christ. So our love of Christ is reflected. Our love for one another is reflected in how we care for one another and how we care for others. And this attitude will recover many saints in the church. There are many saints that are not here because they felt that they were not cared properly by the saints. But if we rise up to love them, not out of duty, but out of a burden that we have from the Lord to go visit them, not to tell them, hey, brother, we haven't seen you in 13 months and 3 days. Where you been? No. Forget about that. Just go, bring them a piece of bread, I don't know, and just sit down and look at them. Eventually, Christ will come. Something will happen. If you're really burdened for them, and the Lord leads you, You have to believe. When I go, God is with me.
Amen.
And your friends are praying for that visit. Maybe they're in the car, they're praying. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't you miss some of your friends that used to be here? Pray for them. Oh, Lord, maybe they need a visit after the summer school. Again, not to condemn them, but so that they would witness, wow, they are really loving. There's something real. There is something real here. Okay. See, having no division, one who has seen the body of Christ and who thus possesses the consciousness of the body feels unbearable inside when he does anything which may cause division or separate God's children. His consciousness of life can deliver all of us from any taint of division. Again, I would say the key here is to have the same care one for another. That's what the Bible tells us. The Lord has blended the body together so that we may have the same care one for another. If in the church that I am, I have favorites that I like to be with, I have to question that love. That love might be just out of my natural self to love this person because we're from the same city in Colombia and we like the same delicious meat. I don't know. You know, it's just something natural. But again, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you realize this, but young people, actually this happens not only with young people, also with older people. We gravitate to those that we are like. So in the church life, we have to stand against that natural tendency. And when somebody comes into our midst that is not maybe the same race, they don't speak the same language, they don't dress like us, regardless, we take our natural glasses off, we put the divine glasses on of the body of Christ, and we see the Christ in them, and we reach to them, and we receive them,
amen,
and we care for them.
Amen.
Not because they gave me a gift or because I like them. It's because I see this, a member of the body of Christ, and we can receive them. That is beautiful. That will bring them in. That will build them into the church. And young people, you are crucial. Your attitude towards the saints is very crucial. You know, sometimes because you may be just in your own things, you think, I want to say this. This is the church. And the young people are in the church. You are in the church. You're members of the body of Christ. You are not a satellite of the church. So in the meetings of the church, in the meeting of saints, please make the church your own. Invite yourself to the saints' homes. Let me write it down for you. Invite yourselves. To the saints. Homes.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
That will be your salvation. I remember being in a training, and then one brother testified. He's serving full time today, and he travels too. He said, these saints would invite him every Friday night and Saturday night to eat his favorite dish. So he would say, "Oh, I'll just go there for half an hour, and then I leave, and then I'll go with my friends." Anyway, in the last 2 years of his college, that's what the saints did. They care for him. Then every day, every week he went, he said, that preserved him. That kept him. And then he went to the full-time training.
Amen.
And now he's serving full time. What preserved him? The church. Being in the church. Being related to the saints in the church that you're in. So don't just treasure your Saturday night meeting as the young people or Friday night whenever you meet. It's precious to come together. But please, blend with the saints. Get to know the saints in your locality. Meet them. You know, some of them, they're older. They have a lot of experience, human experience, that can help you. Anyway, let's go on. Being delivered from independence. If we have body consciousness, we will comprehend immediately that the body is one. The instant God's children see that the body is one, they are delivered from their individual endeavor. Okay. There are two ways for us to act in the human life after we have seen the vision of the church. If we've seen the vision of the church, we give ourselves absolutely for it. And we are for the building. But if we are not in the freshness of our relationship with the Lord and loving the Lord, we may start living according to the principle of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is independence. But remember, because of birth, you're a member of the body. Because of birth, you belong to the body. But it could be that we live according to just being independent. I'm just my own person. This is what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. No matter what anybody says. But remember, you're a member of the body. What you do affects the body. And what you do affects your relationship with the body. So the choices that you make as a young person, where will you go to study? What career will you choose? Whom will you marry? All these things are very big decisions that will show whether you see the body or whether you don't see the body. And I would say, sometimes you have seen the body. But that is, you know, we talk about thorns growing alongside the seed of life in our heart. And the thorns are growing while the seed is growing also. And if we don't deal with the thorns in our heart, they will cause us to choose the self rather than God's purpose. And that will cause us to live an independent life. So, you may have grown in the church, you may have seen the vision of the church, but the world and its riches are luring you. So rather than choosing to live with the saints, or to live near the saints, or to buy a home near the saints, or to go to school where there are saints there, so that you can be in fellowship, you choose to do something else. And you have free will. Nobody is going to come, hey, you better go to Central Connecticut. That's where we are. No, nobody's going to do that. So we really pray that you would know your God. And you spend time with Him, with your choices. And then in this kind of relationship, the Lord will lead you. And He will guide you. Okay. Can we read? How about sisters? Could you read point E? Staying in fellowship.
Staying in fellowship. Fellowship means realizing the total inadequacy of my own self. In fellowship, I acknowledge my insufficiency and incompetency, and I also acknowledge my need of the body.
Amen. Excuse me. Because we are members of one another and we're in the body of Christ. There is a life. We were regenerated by the life of God. And that life brought into us the spirit of life. And that also brought the fellowship of life. To have fellowship is actually the innate ability of the life of God. God God's life in us seeks fellowship. But the natural life just wants to do its own thing. So we need to realize, as a member of the body, the life within me requires fellowship. But we may not know what fellowship is. Fellowship is the mutual communication and communion. It is the flowing of the divine life from me to others and from others to myself, as we have fellowship with God Himself. Okay, so what actually then the innate ability of the life of God to have fellowship in us will cause us to seek fellowship. But we may not consider what that looks like, or we may not know what that looks like. So, because in the body of Christ, as I mentioned earlier, we have older brothers and older sisters. As we seek to make certain decisions, as we are looking to our future, we may bring into fellowship my consideration before the older brothers in the church. That's proper. That's proper. We need to learn to do that in the churches that are older brothers and sisters, that we can bring up matters so that in the fellowship, things that I may not see because I'm just one member, others would see, and then in that fellowship, I would realize, oh, I didn't see it from that perspective. Oh, and that would consider me to bring these things back to God and have more direction from the Lord. The brothers will not tell you what to do. The brothers are not here to control you. But the brothers have a lot of experience in life, and they know the Lord, and you can get the benefit of being covered and protected by the fellowship in the body of Christ. So fellowship will bring you the flow of life. It will bring you supply. It will bring you clarity. Sometimes we're not clear ourselves on the Lord's leading, because the Lord will not let us know He's leading clearly until we open to the body. Because He's not, the Lord's purpose is to build up the body, not to build up a member. So I may not have clarity in my decision. So when I bring it to the Lord in the body, I get the Lord's leading. You see, that's how the Lord gains the body and how we gain the benefit of the fellowship. Maybe we're making a decision, but maybe we don't see the whole situation. The brother... the brothers may bring up something that you didn't think about. So our vision broadens, and we see in the fellowship more light, right? Also, fellowship is the practical covering of the body. Fellowship will cover you. It will protect you from the attack of Satan. Okay, I'll just tell you a little bit. This was a decision... I graduated, and I wanted to go to, do my master's right away. Right. You know, just finish 2 years, and I'm done. And being a member of the body, I brought this into fellowship with the brothers. And you know what the brothers' fellowship was? The brothers' fellowship was, Juan, how about just take one class a semester so you can be on campus and be there serving, you know? My desire was, I want to finish this thing. The brother said, how about just one class a semester? You know how long it took me to finish my master's? 10 years. Hallelujah. 10 years on the campus. Not bad. Eventually, my advisor said, you have to graduate. These credits are going to expire. I cannot postpone them anymore. That's called professional student. Right? Anyway, what was that? That was the fellowship. And I took the fellowship. And because of that fellowship, I just was there on the campus, laboring, serving the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? I don't know what would have happened if I finished earlier. But I don't need to know. Praise the Lord for the body. Praise the Lord for the fellowship. Okay? Then the Lord put in our hearts to migrate. You know, and my wife is half Italian, half Polish. And we tried to get European citizenship through her, you know. Right. We did all the paperwork, came to New York a few times. Did a lot of paperwork and a lot of money, a lot of time. And then, you know, it was 2010, and there was a move in South America. You know, it was a big burden to distribute Bibles in South America. You know, 500,000 Bibles were distributed. 300,000 in the Portuguese-speaking world, 200,000 in the Spanish-speaking world. And when I was fellowshipping with the brothers in my locality, one of the brothers said this. He said, "Juan, you speak Spanish. You're from South America. Why don't you consider South America?" Okay. "No, Italy. Okay. We went to Italy in March 2010. And then, okay, so we went. We were there with the saints in Milan, enjoyed the church life there for a week. We were open to move there, okay? So then we had fellowship with the brothers in New England. That's a broader fellowship. And, you know, then another brother, not the same brother, brother from another locality, from the Boston area, you know, we're just having fellowship. And the brother said, "Juan, why don't you consider South America?" Then, no, Italy. Right? Then, that July, we had the summer training. We had fellowship with Brother Benson. And Benson said, "Juan, how about you go to Italy by the way of Brazil?" Okay. So I said, "Okay, Brother Benson, I'm going to call my wife. Have fellowship with my wife. She's a member of the body. I cannot just say, 'Hey, honey, we're leaving. You know, we're going.'" So even though I've done that sometimes. So I called my wife and I said, "You know, honey, are you open to go to Brazil?" She said, "Yes." Okay, amen. Then I have fellowship with another brother, Albert. And then that was July. Then October came. I went to Paraguay. And then we were in Brazil January 2011. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, when I was in Brazil, I was there for 3.5 years, and I had the sense, God brought me here. I'm here because the Lord brought me here. And so I had the full freedom to ask the Lord for the supply while I was there, because that was not my own decision. That was in the body. Amen. And I was fully covering the fellowship of the body. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege to live a life, well, you know, related properly to the body of Christ. Amen. We may be in the church for years and we don't experience fellowship. We don't know what fellowship is. We hear about it, but we never come to it. Or we are just afraid that they're going to tell us what to do. Or no, just open and receive the benefit of the body. Amen. Okay, learning to be a member. Okay, because we are members of the body of Christ and members each in its part, we must seek to help the body in gaining life and strength. Okay, this is a very important point. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says that we're members one of another. Let's see. Romans 12, 5. It says, So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Okay. Just a few more minutes. Please stay with me. Because we are members one of another, we are very important. And when are we together most of the time? In the meetings, right? And, okay, here, the contrast is between a member and an spectator. You may be in a meeting as a member, or you may be in a meeting as an spectator. Spectator. You just, how do you say?
Spectator.
Spectator. Did I say it correctly now?
Well, you have the Spanish.
I have the Spanish. No. Spectator. Okay. But you understand what I said, right?
Yeah.
Member, spectator.
Right.
Okay. Tonight, what are you? Are you a member or are you spectator? What are you?
Member.
Good. Okay. So in the church life, young people, make the church life your life.
Amen.
Come to the meetings.
Amen.
And then, write this down, be a factor of life in the meetings. Be a factor of life. What does that mean? That means when you come to the meetings, don't wait for the older brothers to come to call a hymn. Just call a hymn and start singing. Start praying.
Amen.
Start the meeting from the time you leave your home. Be a member of the body so that all the things that you do are done for the benefit of the body. You know, there are meetings in the church where we come. When we come to the meetings of the church, and sometimes there is an atmosphere of death in the meeting.
Right.
Who is going to rise up to dispel that atmosphere?
Right.
The members who are full of life.
Yeah.
Are you full of life?
Amen.
You stand up, you call a hymn, you pray, and you swallow up that death.
Amen.
That is being a member.
Amen.
Don't stay back. You know, of course, we do this according to our measure. You know, you're a young person. You have some enjoyment of Christ.
That's right.
You have some hymns that you've enjoyed. And you realize, oh, maybe this hymn will go to right now. And then you call it. And then that calling of the hymn releases life into the whole meeting.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, in Acts chapter 5, there were Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
And they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. And they fell dead. Right? You know who took them out of there?
The young men.
That means your job in the meetings is to take death out.
Amen.
Don't bring death in. Take the death out of the meeting.
Amen.
Exercise your spirit.
Amen.
Rise up.
Amen.
Exercise your function. It's beautiful to see young people on fire for the Lord. And that attracts other young people. Amen. Okay, submitting to authority. Whoever knows the life of the body of Christ and is conscious of being a body member will invariably sense the authority of the head, who is Christ Jesus the Lord, and will recognize those whom God has set in the body to represent the head. Here, we need to keep a good order in the body. In the body, there is a good order. And in the church, okay, in the church, we do not have positions. I would write that down. In the church, we do not have positions. But there is authority. There is authority in the church. And your spirit will tell you who is the authority when you're in a meeting or when you're with a group of brothers or sisters. The spirit tells you. It's like the body, right? Like my hand is under the authority of my head. But if my shoulder moves and my arm moves, my hand moves. So there is a beautiful relationship among all these members related to the head. So in a sense, you can say my hand has to submit to my arm and my arm has to submit to my shoulder. You see what I mean? It is the same in the body of Christ. There is no position, but there is a proper order, and there is authority in the body. So you need to respect, you know, it needs to be a proper honoring of the members of the body. And also, the older brothers need to honor the younger brothers. It's a proper honoring of one another, not considering ourselves too high or thinking too highly of ourselves. I would like, in this portion, I'd like to read five verses in Philippians chapter 2, which show us. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. How about brothers read 1 and sisters 2? I see, and then in this way, okay? So Philippians 2, 1, brothers. Do you have your Bible, brothers? Philippians 2, 1. And then sisters, Philippians 2, 2. This is both related to submitting to authority and to the last point, which is having no ambition. Okay? Let's read to get verse 1, brothers. If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender heartness, make my joy full. Way of selfish ambition, nor by the way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than yourselves, not regarding some virtues, but each the virtues of others also. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 together. Who existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped. 7. But emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, even the death of a cross. So we have the pattern in the Lord Jesus. It's a person who submitted to authority and a person who was not ambitious. Ambitious or ambition is desiring something with an impure motive. It's self-seeking. But that is a proper desiring or aspiration that we should have in the church. We should have an aspiration to serve the Lord. But we shouldn't have ambition to be somebody in the Lord's work or to be somebody. Actually, all of us should be aspire to serve the Lord and to be slaves so we can present ourselves to the saints, to the brothers, to the church where we are as a young person, to serve with the children, to serve with the AV, to come on Saturday and help with the grounds and maintenance. Brothers and sisters, these are not just menial things or practical things that need to be done. These are opportunities to be built up into the body of Christ. Amen. So take the opportunity in the churches to serve, to enter. And don't be jealous if you're not the one who is in charge of the service group. Sometimes, right, there is a group of ones that needs to clean the bathroom, and you're jealous because he's the one that is taking the lead about cleaning the bathroom. That's us. We have ambition to do this or to do that. So may the Lord give us the proper consciousness of the body. Amen. And may we all grow up into the head in all things so that we could have a proper attitude in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord for our entrance into the church life. Amen. And our attitude in the church life. Amen. Amen. Should we have some prayer? Amen. And then the brothers will tell us what to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.